Welcome back to SpaceX Daily. SpaceX has just secured a significant victory, snagging a $733 million contract from the U.S. Space Force for 8 launches.
This is a big win for SpaceX, no doubt. It's part of the Space Force's National Security Space Launch Phase 3 Lane 1 program, which focuses on lower-risk missions in near-Earth orbits.
It's interesting to see the Space Force actively fostering competition in the launch services market. They've selected SpaceX, ULA, and even Blue Origin, who, let's be honest, are still working on getting to orbit reliably.
It's a smart move. By keeping the competition open, even with a limited pool of contenders right now, the Space Force encourages innovation and potentially drives down costs in the long run. And with the ability to on-ramp new providers annually, this could get really interesting.
Absolutely. This initial award covers missions through 2029, but it's clear the Space Force sees this as a long game. As new players emerge in the coming years, this competition could become a real Space Race 2.0.
But this SpaceX success story has a flip side. Airbus's defense and space divisions are facing major cuts. We're talking about 2,500 jobs, and some are pointing fingers directly at SpaceX.
It's a tough situation, and it highlights the changing landscape of the space industry. SpaceX's aggressive pricing and rapid innovation are putting pressure on traditional aerospace giants like Airbus and Boeing.
Exactly. It's like the old guard is struggling to keep up with a nimble startup, even though that startup is now launching more payload than any other entity on Earth. And this isn't just a European problem. Boeing is also feeling the heat. They've announced their own job cuts and are grappling with the Starliner delays. The question is, how do these companies adapt?
It's a critical question. Do they try to compete head-on with SpaceX on price and innovation, or do they focus on niche areas where they have an advantage? The next few years will be very telling for the future of the aerospace industry. Speaking of innovation, this week's SpaceX news is just mind-boggling. 5 launches in a week, 3 different rocket types. It's like they're playing a real-life Kerbal Space Program.
It's an incredible feat of engineering and logistics. They're on track to shatter their own launch record, and the implications for the commercial space industry are huge. But it's not just about rockets. SpaceX is pushing the boundaries of what's possible, and that has a ripple effect on other areas of science and technology.
Absolutely. Take the news about LUMI, for example. This AI-powered lab assistant could be a game-changer for scientific research. Imagine freeing up scientists from hours of tedious data collection. It's like giving them a team of tireless, hyper-efficient lab assistants.
It could lead to faster discoveries, more efficient research, and potentially even breakthroughs in areas like medicine and materials science. It's a great example of how advancements in one field can have a profound impact on others.
So SpaceX is now the second most valuable privately held company globally, clocking in at a staggering $200 billion. That puts them ahead of OpenAI and just behind ByteDance. It really highlights the financial world's confidence in their long-term vision.
It's astronomical growth, no pun intended. And it speaks volumes about the increasing commercialization of space. Investors are recognizing the potential returns in satellite internet, space tourism, even Mars colonization, all areas where SpaceX is a major player. They're not just launching rockets, they're building an entirely new industry.
It's also interesting to see them listed alongside companies like ByteDance and Shein. These are very different businesses, but they all share that unicorn DNA: disruptive innovation, rapid scaling, and a global reach. It'll be fascinating to see how this list evolves over the next few years. Speaking of SpaceX, Indian astronaut Shubhanshu Shukla just began training for the AX-4 mission. He's going to be part of the first Indian crew on the ISS, right?
That's right. He's already completed the initial onboarding in Houston and even got his first look at the Dragon spacecraft. It's a big moment, not just for him, but for India's space program as a whole.
Absolutely. This mission is a testament to the growing accessibility of space. We're moving beyond government agencies to a future where private citizens and researchers can contribute to space exploration.
And AX-4 is just the beginning. Axiom Space has even bigger plans, including their own commercial space station. It's clear that the future of space exploration is going to be quite different from its past.
Shifting gears, Rocket Lab is making headlines with its incredibly fast turnaround time for launches. They just announced a mission scheduled for as early as Saturday after signing the contract less than 2 months ago. That's unheard of in this industry.
It's certainly impressive. This responsive launch capability is something the U.S. Space Force has been pushing for, and Rocket Lab is clearly positioning itself as a key player in that arena. The ability to rapidly deploy assets in response to a threat is becoming increasingly important in the current geopolitical climate.
Absolutely. It's a whole different ballgame than the traditional model of scheduling launches years in advance. This kind of agility could be a game changer, especially in situations where time is of the essence. Speaking of bridging the digital divide, Maine's initiative to provide free Starlink dishes to remote residents is a fascinating case study.
It's a bold move, leveraging a non-traditional solution to address a persistent problem. The reliance on satellite internet over fiber is intriguing, especially considering the BEAD program's emphasis on the latter.
Right. It highlights the trade-offs at play. While fiber is generally considered the gold standard, Starlink offers a faster deployment timeline, which is crucial for these underserved communities. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the long run, particularly in terms of cost effectiveness and service quality. Let's dive into the curious case of Brendan Carr, Elon Musk, and the future of Starlink.
It's a relationship that's raising eyebrows for sure. Carr's vocal support for Musk and Starlink seems to go beyond typical regulatory advocacy, especially considering the potential for a Trump administration comeback and Carr's rumored candidacy for FCC chair.
Exactly. It's like a political pas de deux, with Carr's every move seemingly choreographed to appeal to Musk. From echoing his criticisms of the Biden administration's broadband policies to championing Starlink's role in disaster relief, Carr's actions speak volumes about his allegiances.
And let's not forget the potential financial incentives for both parties. Musk stands to gain billions in federal subsidies if Starlink becomes a major player in the broadband rollout, while Carr could solidify his position in a future Republican administration.
It's a tangled web indeed. This cozy relationship raises concerns about regulatory capture and whether a Carr-led FCC would prioritize Musk's business interests over the public good. It's a development worth watching closely, as it could have significant implications for the future of broadband access and the very principles of fair competition.